This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Thursday, June 6, 2019. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us for the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got some sunshine around town right now, a high of 74 today. It's 74 at O'Hare right now, 70 at Midway, only 57 degrees at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour presented by Old Second Bank. The markets are in positive territory. Let's get the latest on trading from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Robin. That is an improvement. Earlier, we had losses, but all three benchmarks in the green, and the Dow and S&P are up 3% so far this week. It's only Thursday, so another day to improve on that. The blue chips adding 78 points and trading to 25,619. NASDAQ up 2 points, S&P higher by 7. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is lower by almost 0.5%. American and Mexican negotiators will resume talks in just about an hour. Time is running short to head off President Trump's threatened tariffs on Mexican goods. The president says Mexico has time to step up to the plate. The outlook for retailers keeps getting grimmer. Three chains that sell very different kinds of products, Michaels, At Home Group, and Signet Jewelers, all cut their earnings guidance after reporting weaker same-store sales for the last quarter. Google has completed its biggest deal since 2014, the internet company agreeing to buy Looker for $2.6 billion. That acquisition will give Google a new tool for selling more cloud storage and software. It's a market where it's been struggling to compete with Amazon and Microsoft. And crude oil futures little change now, holding near $51.50. Back to you, Robin, Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're talking Technology Thursday, and that will include robotics. Also, a product that is known as Beyond Meat.
And it's Father's Day, that's on the way, and graduation season's around the corner. We'll run down the list of the hottest spring gadgets, and here's a preview: sunglasses that double as speakers.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
In a few moments, we're going to take a look into the world of robotics and how they're making inroads into the workplace. But first, let's talk about President Trump's new threat to raise tariffs on Mexico and which companies stand to lose. Our guest is Andrew Bush, former Chief Market Intelligence Officer at Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Andy. Who is set to get hurt here as it stands?
Well, I think clearly when we're talking about the Midwest, and let's talk about the area that we're in with auto manufacturing and auto parts and autos, I believe it was Ford who just came out today and said that they will see significant increases in the cost of engine parts and a lot of other components in which they put into their autos. So, I mean, that just kind of scratches the surface. The problem with these tariffs, and they're going to go into effect on Monday, 5% increase, and then if they don't get an agreement, I think they go up to 25% by October. The problem is there's so much that goes back and forth across the border. It's not just a one-way flow of parts of manufacturing. So this really throws a monkey wrench into a lot of the supply chains that are out there for U.S. manufacturers. And it certainly is problematic from many standpoints as far as supply chain goes, but it also is really bad from the standpoint of we just had an agreement, the new NAFTA agreement that the president actually put forward to Congress to get signed, and now he's somewhat blowing that up. So this is problematic for a lot of manufacturers and a lot of people in the country.
It also seems as though the talks, if there are talks at all, are being composed at, just one person is going out and having a news conference, and that's not really discussion.
Yeah, it's not a great way to negotiate, that's for sure. And the president's not here. Obviously, he's at the G20 meeting, and so his tweets about what's going on with Mexico, it's kind of hard to figure out who he's talked to, when he's talked to them. But taking a step back, this is part of the biggest problem for the markets overall is obviously the trade war with China, and now we've got uncertainty over what's happening with Mexico. And this, you know, is somewhat offset by the announcement, or at least the comment yesterday by Fed Chairman Jay Powell, talking about that the Fed would, of course, monitor the trade situation and be able to step in and ease monetary conditions if that occurs. And so that's where we've seen this really big rally over the last couple of days, because the Fed has indicated that they would quite possibly shift and cut interest rates maybe as soon as the end of this month. June 18th is their next meeting, but the market's pricing in a 25% for June 18th, and then at their next meeting, they're pricing in 75% chance of a 25 basis point rate cut.
Very quickly, Andy, if higher tariffs go into effect on Monday, how will the American car consumer see that reality in the sticker price of a new car?
Yeah, I'm not sure how fast this is going to translate, and I'm not sure how it's going to be applied, so that's a little bit up in the air. What we do know is that the majority of these tariffs are paid by U.S. consumers. I've seen one estimate just with China that the trade is cost, that trade war is costing U.S. consumers $600 billion so far this year. So I think regardless what the president says about he likes tariffs and he's the tariff man, I think he runs the risk of creating a lot of higher costs for U.S. consumers. And it's certainly something to think about as we head into the 2020 election and the Democrat presidential debates that occur at the end of June.
Andy Bush, Andrew Bush, former Chief Markets Intelligence Officer at the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and political economist at andrewbush.com. Thank you for joining this afternoon on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Coming up, how robots are changing the American workplace.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It appears the Jetsons got it right. Robots are making serious inroads into the American workplace. Joining us now is Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media in Cambridge, Massachusetts, also the former tech editor for the Today Show. Paul, welcome back to the program. We're not talking about the flying car that folds into a briefcase, but we are talking about robots in the workplace that may have a little bit of a resemblance to some of the robots we've seen in cartoons depicting the future. I mean, what are the Amazon Fulfillment Center robots? What do they do and what do they look like?
Yeah, they should definitely call them Rosie, I think, for sure, to, you know, speaking of the Jetsons. And when you it's called Xanthus, the official name. But basically what the Amazon Fulfillment Centers have done, what they've announced, is that they're basically going to create a modular approach to robotics, meaning they're going to try and future-proof their entire supply chain inside their buildings. So they're going to put a base robot at the ground level, and then for depending upon the task at hand, they're going to be able to add or take away pieces of robot to do certain tasks. That way, almost regardless of how their fulfillment centers look, if they start changing shape or their process, these robots they'll just swap out parts for the new process, so they don't have to worry about making a particular robot for a particular need.
Hasn't this been the dream of industrialization since the very beginning, where the machines do all the work and then we just sit back and enjoy our lives of leisure?
Well, I mean, that's the plan. If you look at the dawn of the Industrial Revolution up in Lowell or Lawrence, Massachusetts, it was the same thing. They created, first of all, they harnessed the power of the rivers going by those mills, and then they had all the people sitting in the mills, sitting at giant machines that for the first time could sew large amounts of things all at once. So yes, it's not only been the dream, it's leveraged huge wealth. So while robots are scary to some people in terms of, you know, replacing workers, there are a lot of places where they won't. They'll just make the jobs change.
Well, robotic skyscrapers are being developed for window washers, for one, which should be a good thing to know for people in that industry.
Yeah, as a famous jet pilot said, it's not going fast that kills you; it's stopping quickly that kills you. So, if you're up way up 100, 200, 300 feet up as a window washer, you would love the idea that you could control the window washing from the ground where it's safe, and a robot up there that you're controlling could actually clean all those windows. Window washing is a huge industry. The cost per person, that is to say per worker, around $27 an hour. It's not cheap, but it's not like, not like the worker's going away. Now the worker's just going to be safer and helped by a robot.
Very quickly, talk about the Boston Dynamics commercial robot Spot that can be programmed to perform a variety of tasks.
Yeah, this is an exactly the opposite kind of robot in terms of its purpose. The first two robots we mentioned, they're built to do one specific task again and again. This particular robot is designed, Spot, by Boston Dynamics, is built to adapt to a changing environment, to do things that will help the people around it. It's still very early. It has 3D cameras that map the environment around it. It responds to new input, like if somebody pushes it by mistake or so forth and so forth. But this job of this robot is to adapt to its surroundings as opposed to get really good at one thing.
Well, it just it's you talk about the Jetsons. In some cases, we're talking about technology out of the movie Short Circuit. And Johnny Five could be coming to a home near you.
Don't make Spot mad, whatever you do.
Yeah, no. We've all learned never make the robots mad. If we've learned anything from science fiction, always be nice to the robots.
Yes. One other note: don't make Chris mad. Chris, we will miss you, as I understand it. So thank you for all of your
thanks
your
so much,
conversation.
Paul. It's been nice working with you.
Our pleasure.
Well, it's the feeling's mutual. Thank you, Paul Hochman, president of Humongous Media and former tech editor for the Today Show based in Cambridge. We'll check the markets in 60 seconds, then later in Technology Thursday, cool gadgets for your cool dad on Father's Day.
WBBM News Time 12:25. Business news is sponsored by Justin Greenberg, realtor at Berkshire Hathaway. And here's Lisa Parenti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 81 points, or a third of a percent, up more than 3% this week, right now at 25,621. NASDAQ off 5 points, S&P up 6. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is lower by almost 0.5%. Crude futures slightly lower to $51.55 a barrel. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
Mixed prices here in the grains. Corn's been down as much as 8.5 to up 7. We currently are up 4 at 437.5. Beans were down 13 early and then went to the plus side. At the moment, November's down 1.75 at 895.5. And wheat's been up as much as 23. We're still up 21.25 in July at 512. Wheat higher, corn higher, beans lower. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon, I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Stocks are slightly higher at this hour. We'll see what's moving the markets.
It's Technology Thursday. We'll take a look at what's hot on the list of gifts for Father's Day.
Find out why you might like what you see at the gas pump this summer.
News we're watching, solemn tributes to those who fought and died on this D-Day in Normandy 75 years ago.
WBBM Business, the Dow is up 92 points right now. The NASDAQ is a dip below the flat line, now two under, and the S&P 500 up 8.
74 degrees now at O'Hare, 57 at the lakefront, and 70 at Midway, with partly to mostly sunshine. It's 12:31.
And the Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. The markets are mixed right now on Wall Street, but one item catching the eyes of investors today is the much-anticipated earnings report from fake meat maker Beyond Meat. And our guest is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital in Chicago and author of the book Calculated Risk. Mike, welcome back to the program. The meat may be fake, but is the money real?
Oh, good afternoon, Chris and Rob, and thanks for having me on. Well, they certainly have been a huge splash since they IPO'd a couple months ago. Is it for real? Well, you know, you're talking about a company that still doesn't make a profit, but it is expected tonight to report revenue of about $39 million, which, you know, is a good start. I think what's key to this company, at least for this earnings announcement, is what the management guidance will be. They already pre-announced in April some of the numbers, so I don't expect them to be that much of a shock. So the market is going to move on what the guidance from management is. And just interestingly, in the options market, they are predicting a 14% move in the stock on this announcement. So just expect a $10 to $20 move in the stock tomorrow.
For those who haven't heard about this Beyond Meat, what is it?
So it is a plant-based, or at least not animal-based meat substitute that still provides the same, a lot of the same nutritional benefits of meat. So it would be interesting for vegans, but also for meat lovers who maybe are looking to get away from as much meat consumption as they have and look for alternatives. So, but they have a lot of competition, but the market so far loves the company. I want to say one thing real quick, Chris. I know this is your last week. I just want to congratulate you for being a friendly and knowledgeable voice here in Chicago. And it's been a pleasure working with you, and good luck in everything that comes next for you, too.
Thanks, Michael. We've enjoyed your calculated risk conversations.
Well, I've enjoyed it as well.
Well, on the subject of Beyond Meat, just looking under the hood, from a media and marketing standpoint, they have done a lot of things really well so far. The people talk about them. They seem to have reached some big deals with some big distributors. They seem to have the toast of the meat substitute world. I mean, they're Morningstar. Others have been out there for a longer time. You talked about the guidance from the CEO. Based on past performance, companies that have done a really good job attracting attention for themselves, does this portend a profitable future?
Well, it's as you said, it's a great start, but will they be able to continue the momentum? We're going to see that in the next few quarters, and that's why I think guidance here by management is going to be important. They have to keep this thing going. Wall Street is a quarter-by-quarter type thing, and once you go public, you have to keep beating those numbers. That's why a lot of these companies stay private for longer, so they don't have to report every quarter. But now that it's public, it'll be interesting to see this first call, how management projects the future to investors, and then what the investor reaction is. Because, like I said, I think the numbers are going to be what is expected, because they already kind of pre-announced it. So look for revenue around $39, $40 million. I don't think people are going to really care about that. They're going to look to management and see how are they going to keep this ball rolling. As you said, they've done a great job of partnering with vendors so they've got their name out there. I mean, when you think of meat substitute, you think of this company, and they have some big competitors, but so far they've done a great job of keeping their name in the spotlight. We will see how they do, you know, going forward. I would just caution investors that the stock has doubled since its opening print, and it's gone up four times what its IPO value was just 2 months ago. So if you were lucky enough, not even lucky enough, but if you had the foresight to get long this stock, I would just lighten up a little bit in this earnings. There's going to be a big move in this stock one way or the other. And if you are long it and you've made a bunch of money, just lighten up a little bit.
Any other calculated risks that have wowed you recently?
What I like right now is I like emerging markets over the U.S. I think that they will perform. That will be a tone for the next 3 to 5 years at least. The U.S. has had an unbelievable run. I look for emerging markets to beat the U.S. going forward. I have also said that I think a short-term short in treasuries would be a good bet, because I think rates are going to start ticking up a little bit. So those would be two plays I like. And then in technology, I still like NVIDIA.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital and author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Thanks for joining us once again on the program. Coming up next, it's Technology Thursday, and we'll talk about a possible slam dunk if you're shopping for Father's Day.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's Technology Thursday on the Noon Business Hour. We're checking out some cool gadgets just in time for Father's Day. And with us live in the studio is Jennifer Jolly, Tech Life columnist for USA Today, founder of Techish.com, based in San Francisco. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, live and in person, Jennifer.
It's so much fun to be back here.
Nice
Thank
to have
you
in the
me.
Studio. Okay, what do we have to look at today?
Well, let's start with this kind of classic form factor. This is the Lenovo Smart Clock with Google Assistant. What I like so much about it is that it does have that kind of retro feel. It's an alarm clock, first and foremost. And it lets you get your smartphone out of the bedroom so it doesn't distract you throughout the night. but it has smart features. So you can set morning routines. It'll wake up and turn your lights on. Anything that's connected via Google Assistant, it can start playing the radio station, turn the lights on. You can check in on your Nest camera, check in on the kids, or use an intercom and say, hey, it's time to get up. It's really, really great. It's retro feel, but has all that smart integration for the future.
And about $80.
Yes, $80, which sweet spot, less than $100.
And Jennifer, I'm glad you mentioned the most important feature, which means you can hear the stream of WBBM News Radio on radio.com via your Lenovo smart clock with Google Assistant.
Exactly.
That's the most important thing. I mean, turn the lights on, look at the burglar alarm, you know, all that other stuff. As long as you're near the radio station, that's the most important thing. I got to ask you about the Oculus Quest, because is it nearly as eye-popping as other people say it will be?
Yes, 1,000%. Absolutely. What's so special about this new Oculus Quest VR headset is that it's self-contained. So it's right here. Fits on the top of your head, not much larger than, say, ski goggles. No cords, no wires. You're completely untethered. And then it has what's called 6 degrees of freedom. So up, down, left, right, forward, back. You can really experience being in that virtual world in a way that you just haven't been able to do before. It's by far the best consumer virtual reality headset I have tested to date.
Now, we had a story a couple of weeks ago about how the rebuild of the Notre Dame Cathedral is going to rely on the blueprints or on a model from the video game Assassin's Creed. They developed this hyper-realistic depiction of Notre Dame, I think, 400 years ago. There's another video game that allows you to walk the decks of the Titanic and go inside the ship, in the boiler room, into the dining room, and all the spaces that you saw in the movie. Is it possible to adapt that to the Oculus right now and just get lost in that world?
Absolutely. There's a video game called Wander, and you basically point your controller at a map, click the little trigger, and it takes you right into that world. You feel like you're walking down the street in China or in Egypt. And one of the other features that I'm really seeing, or use cases of this kind of virtual reality, is in the emergency room. I was down in Los Angeles in the emergency room with pediatric emergency room doctors who are using this to train on all kinds of situations on infants and young children. So it is more realistic than ever before, and it is used in a wide variety now of different cases beyond video games.
And we're talking several hundred dollars.
It's $400 for the entry level, which 2 years ago, this was a $2,000 kind of gadget.
Course,
really,
right.
Really, the tech didn't exist 2 years ago. But $400, it does seem like a lot. You also have to pay for the video games via an app on your smartphone. So those can run anywhere from $20, $30, $40, $50, $60. So yeah, it's a chunk of change. It's an investment. It is really cool.
Well, Jennifer came in here. She was like Santa Claus. She had a big bag full of goodies. So we're going to keep you through the next segment as we run down the list of spring gadgets. You can now take off your Oculus VR helmet, and in which you can experience the noon business hour in a level of detail that you never could possibly imagine before. And we'll run down
and
the
that
rest.
Includes a heated razor.
Yes,
so
it does. A heated razor so you can shave in luxury. We'll talk about that coming up.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
As the Noon Business Hour rolls on, this is segment number two with Jennifer Jolly, the USA Today Tech Life columnist, running down the hot gadgets of the spring and summer. And there were audible gasps in the studio during the commercial break as Chris tried on the Oculus helmet. And it was a pretty...
I was in a domed building in Italy, I believe, and I was looking over the side and realized that if this were real, I would be walking off like a cliff. And it actually did scare me.
So this does have the potential to be, you know, you talk about the various ways technology has moved, altered society in the first 19 years of the 21st century. Mm-hmm. Social media, smartphones in your pocket, the ability to get any and all information anytime. The Oculus Rift, that that could be as much of a game changer as, say, the iPhone.
It could be, although we've been slower to adopt and adapt to virtual reality in our everyday lives, as much slower than, say, the smartphone. And one of the big trends that I'm seeing is, while that is the OMG, the oh wow, the jaw-dropping kind of new gadget, new technology, and that $400 price range for entry level to it makes it somewhat attainable for a lot of people, while that's special and great, all of this technology has also created various problems in our lives that now new tech is coming out to fix as well. So an example of that is this little EB storage device. It's a photo organizer and manager and storage device. So you plug this in, you download an app, connect it. The entire thing takes about 1 minute, and you can save and upload all of your photos, your videos. 500,000 photos fit into something the size of a coffee cup.
Well, the Oculus is for fun, and you know, yeah, it is a dad's day present, possibly. It's for fun. You know, it's not practical.
I think that it can be practical if you use it for science, for learning applications. There aren't as many programs to do that. Although, as you just experienced, it is a great way to see the world. And there are a lot of use cases right now where it's senior citizens who might not be as mobile as they used to be can go visit friends and family in the virtual reality world. So that's a nice way to think of it being a little bit better and more helpful for society as well.
Jennifer Jolly from USA Today, thanks for joining us. Thanks for knocking our socks off with the virtual reality display. And if you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app. WBBM News Time, 12:55. WBBM Business News, sponsored by FinishingChicago.com. And from Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, we continue to see gains. This would be the third winning session in a row if they stick to the closing bell. The Dow is up 88 points to 25,627, up 0.3%. NASDAQ adding 3 points, S&P higher by 8. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg down 0.3%. After only 1 year, JPMorgan Chase is shutting down its answer to Marcus. That's the online-only bank from Goldman Sachs. JPM called its version Fin and hoped to reach younger customers and gather low-cost deposits without having to rely on physical branches. Those who did sign up will see their money transferred into a regular Chase account. The production company, backed by former President Barack Obama and First Lady Michelle Obama, will make podcasts for Spotify, expanding into audio after signing a deal with Netflix for a slate of TV shows and movies. The music streaming company will distribute the podcast covering wide-ranging topics to audience around the world as part of a multi-year deal, according to Spotify. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.